There is never a chance meeting with God. You may think that this is just an encounter, but God planned both the time and place.
The appointed encounter, what does it mean? The appointed encounter, Jesus. Helps me to see.
The Appointed Encounter podcast delves into familiar Bible stories to help us see and know when we have come to our destined meeting with the Lord. And now here's your host, Yvette Houghton.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I am Yvette Houghton, your host of The Appointed Encounter, and we are to another episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to move right along to John chapter 4, verse 16. We are still looking at this Samaritan encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well. And we are, again, to verse 16. And it says, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. In the last episode, we looked at the fact that this Samaritan woman wanted Jesus to give her the water so that she didn't have to come back to the well. And Jesus, in turn, tells her to go call her husband and come back. I was going to kind of skip over this, but I said, no, you're saying something, Lord. And so what are you saying? Why is it? What am I looking at? And he began to have me to focus on why she had to call her husband. I go, why did she have to call her husband? Why did she have to call a guy up to this? And I wasn't understanding that per se. It's important, but you know, go call your husband when we know she didn't have one. And we'll get into that much later. But why are you telling her to call her husband? What is the purpose? Why does she need to go call her husband? You're talking to her about everlasting life. Everlasting life is an individual thing. It's me. You're dealing with me. You're talking about giving a well that will give everlasting water springing forth. And so why do I need to call my husband when you're dealing with my soul? I sat and what are you saying, Lord? Go call thy husband. He brought back to my remembrance Genesis chapter 3, where Eve didn't call her husband. And so let's begin to look at that, because when we look at Genesis chapter 3, we find in verse 1, it says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She didn't consult Adam. She didn't turn to him like she did when she ate it and said, Hey, come on, eat with us. She just kind of went on her own mindset. That's what the serpent ran with. Make the connection, Lord. You know, you're telling her to go call a husband that technically she doesn't have, and we're talking hindsight is 20/20, but then you bring me here to Genesis. Hath God said? Her response never elicited a go call your husband, is what the Lord pointed out to me. As Jesus is talking to her, he's telling her, go call your husband. But yet, when the serpent says something, her response to him didn't elicit him to say, well, why don't you go clarify it with your husband? This woman is talking to Jesus, and he's talking about he has a well that she'll never thirst again. It elicits Jesus to tell her, go call your husband. What it did with Satan and the serpent was it caused the serpent to focus on death. The serpent said to her, oh, you're not going to really die. You're going to know some stuff. Whereas Jesus focused on life. Jesus focused on this everlasting life, that you're going to have everlasting life. Jesus focused on you're never going to thirst again. The serpent focused on what God was withholding, on the possibility that God may be holding something back from you, something that you really, really want, something that you really should desire. But Jesus focused on what God was giving. He was giving an everlasting well. He was giving a well that would never run dry. He was giving everlasting life, not on what you think that you can't have, what you think that God is not allowing you to have. The serpent sat and focused on isolating her, making her feel okay to answer a question without consulting her husband, who was with her. And she made this decision to take up this fruit, and it isolated her and individualized her to the point that she didn't need Adam nor God to clarify the answer. He said, did God really say? She neither turned to her husband, nor did she consult God. Oh, Lord, what did you really say? What she said was, well, this is what God said. He isolates her and makes her feel that it's okay for you to answer the question, although you don't necessarily know if you're answering it right, although you may be having some kind of question about it, although, you know, you're okay to make this decision. I mean, you're his helpmeet. You got to make him something to eat. You got to get him something to eat. And so, you know, go ahead and make the decision, because this food is good for you and it's going to make you wise. It's going to open up your eyes to see some other things. Yet Jesus, with the Samaritan woman, says, go call your husband. Because the more he keeps talking and he's talking about spiritual things, she's not getting it. She keeps going back to her natural need. He's about to get down to the nitty-gritty of things. He's about to begin to deal with things. See, the serpent took advantage of the naivety of Eve. He took advantage of the innocence that was there. He took advantage of the nakedness of Eve. Whereas Jesus, when he sees that this Samaritan woman is not getting it, he says, now I need to deal with everything with her. He already knew she didn't have a husband. We know that. He already knew. But I got to get to the crux of the matter with her. And I've got to get her to the point where I can mature her. So let's begin to deal with the things that are so easily besetting her, that are weighing her down, keeping her from understanding these spiritual matters. And so his telling her to go call her husband allows him to read the intent of her heart by how she answers. How is she about to answer this question? Because oftentimes, God begins dealing with us, and in his dealing with us, we still cover things up. And so Jesus is now looking to see, how is she going to actually answer this question? Is she going to be truthful with me so that revelation can come much quicker than it normally would? And so Jesus finds out immediately whether or not you are coming for the fish and the loaves, or are you coming for truth and deliverance in this situation? go call your husband. How are you going to answer that when the question comes to you? He's saying, do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to be delivered from this situation, from your thirsting always and having to come back and forth to this well and having to come back and forth and see the stairs and know what people are saying about you? You say that you want what I have, but are you willing to lay aside the sin and its weight? The serpent sought to find out if Eve really understood the command of the Lord. He wants to know, do you understand what the Lord said to you? Do you understand what he said when he says, don't eat of the tree? Do you really get it? Yet Jesus, when he's speaking to this woman, sees that she's not getting it, and he seeks to enlighten her in the truth of things. And so now, as we're weighing things in our own lives, as God is dealing with us, how are things being brought to you? We look at these things. God is now beginning to deal with this woman, and he's dealing with her, and he has to now begin to deal with that thing that she is using to cover up her sin. If you remember, in the garden, after they ate of the fruit, we'll move on in Genesis chapter 3, and it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is in verse number 7. So what Jesus is getting ready to do is he's about to remove the apron made of fig leaves that's covering up her nakedness, that's covering up the shame that she has now found herself exposed to. So before the sin in the garden, Adam and Eve were naked and they were not ashamed. It was not a shameful thing for them to be innocent. It was not a shameful thing for them to be vulnerable. It was okay for them to stand before God in all of their nakedness and all of their vulnerability and say, I don't know, Lord, and so I'm going to depend on you for this. But yet, when their sin became exposed, when they became exposed to different things, they had to cover up their nakedness. They had to cover up the fact of what they did. And so what this woman in Samaria was doing by having this man with her is she's covering up the shame of her life. She's covering up the shame of 5 husbands, and this one is not even your husband. And so Jesus is now getting ready to get down to it. And he's about to remove the fig leaves that she has sewed together as an apron to cover up the shame that she is experiencing. He wanted to get this woman back to the point that she is once again innocent and vulnerable so that he can reveal truth to her. It's when we recognize that we don't know and we are not ashamed to say it that the truth is revealed to us. So question becomes, are you ready to have the fig leaf apron removed from your life? God's question to Adam as he went along, when God came along in the cool of the day, he says, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to? Now God comes to this woman with truth, a truth revealing statement, saying to her, go get your husband and come back. He's now exposing. Come on, tell me the truth. And so God says to you today, what apron have you sewn together to cover up your nakedness? Will you actually go get the shame that you have and come back and still continue to use it as a covering? Or will you lay it aside? And the weight that so easily besets you. Are you willing right now to come before God in all of your vulnerability, with all the vulnerability that you have? Are you willing to come before him and be naked before him so that he can reveal his truth to you? As this woman at the well is now at a pivotal point in her life, she's standing at the well with this Jewish man talking to her about giving her a well where it will never run dry and she will never have to come back here and she will never thirst again. But before we can even get to what he's really talking about, which is her soul, which is her life, that she can have everlasting life, that it's going to be a well springing up in her. I need to deal with some things that are clogging it up. I need to deal with things that are covering it up. And so in order to deal with the cover up, in order to remove the fig leaves that you've sewed together, I need to deal with that thing that you are using to cover up your shame. We come and we have to remember that in all that we do, and even in the things where we fall aside and we fall victim to, and we sin. And when we sin, we can either allow it to be such an embarrassment that it keeps us from moving on, or we can do like my grandmother taught me, get yourself up, wipe yourself off, and keep going. And so you have to learn to allow whatever it is that caused you to stumble along the way. Just here it is. This is what happened. And now let's move on. And you use that as your testimony of from where God has delivered you. And so God is now about to take this woman from a standpoint of being shameful of what she's done to the point of becoming the town crier, where she says, this man told me everything that there was to know about me. And that's where God wants to get you to, that you are willing to be truthful about whatever it is your cover-up is, whatever apron of fig leaves that you have sewn together to cover up whatever it is that you did, so that God can now deal with you and make you the town crier for your place of Samaria. God is saying this to you right now on today. He wants to deal with you. He wants to reveal his truth to you. He wants you to be able to come to him in all truthfulness, as shameful as it may be, as hard as it may be to rip the Band-Aid off and it may hurt and tear away. You know what? What I have for you is better. What I have for you is going to cause you to never thirst again. What I have for you is going to allow you to be able to walk with your head held high. You're not going to have to come in the heat of the day. You're not going to have to toil by the sweat of your brow, but I'm going to make it easier because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so will you today be truthful in the answer to God's statement to you? Go call thy husband and come here. Be truthful in the matter. God bless you. God keep you. May heaven smile upon you and be blessed. We thank you for listening. Please like and share this with anyone and everyone that you know. I appreciate your listening. God bless you in Jesus' name.